And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagman and Hagman Report on this, the 7th day of December, 1941. Oh, no, it's 2015, 74 years later. Just want to commemorate the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, the 2,400 men who were killed, men and women and children, even collateral damage. Of course, that's a significant day. I want to just publicly thank my wife for being my wife, for tolerating me. She just got to the studio, brought Lady, our studio dog, who I didn't bring earlier, and now she's. Oh, that's not nice. No, I'm just kidding. But thank you for, hopefully Lady will get some FaceTime. This hour and into the next, Russ Dizdar from ShatterTheDarkness.net. Before we get to Russ, want to say that, we really found a great mattress. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's nothing worse than sleeping on a hard, yucky, lumpy old mattress. And you know something, I read somewhere. Now they say this is an urban legend, okay, but, I read somewhere where every 10 years your mattress doubles its weight because of dust mite stuff. You know, it's gross, right? Ugh. But I'll tell you something, Casper Mattress. Now, Casper Mattress is one of the best mattresses I've ever had the pleasure of sleeping on. Casper Mattress is at Casper.com. Our world is Casper. .com/CFP Radio. That's Casper.com/CFP Radio. Let me say it one more time. Casper.com/CFP Radio. And folks, go to HagmanHagman.com. Click on the link to Casper Mattress, which will take you to Casper.com/CFP Radio. There, you will find the online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price you're used to. This mattress industry has always inherently forced the consumer into showrooms and to try mattresses and you get 2 seconds. It's really ridiculous. Well, Casper Mattress provides a quality mattress. You've got a period of time to check it out, 100 days to check it out, but they provide this long-lasting support of comfort. It's one of a kind. It's a new hybrid mattress that combines premium latex foam with memory foam. It's one of the best, most comfortable mattresses you'll ever have. Christmas is coming. Do yourself a favor. Get you and your wife and your family a new mattress. And or even your dog. If you've got a family dog that sleeps with you, your dog will love it. Lady loves it. Four paws up. She's sleeping. She snores. She's out. And she'll take a nap during the day. Sometimes when I go home with her, I'll find her sleeping on the Casper mattress. Now, cost-wise, you can't beat it. Mattresses can cost well over $1,500, but Casper mattresses, anywhere between $500 for a twin and $950 for a huge king size. The box they come in are great.
And don't forget on the promotion.
Yes.
Casper mattress.
Yeah.
CFP radio. Then the code, you have to enter the promotional code
right.
to get the $50 off your first purchase, which is CFP radio.
That's right. I'm going to tell you something. Well, you can get $50 off towards any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/CFP radio and inserting CFP radio as the promo code. Folks, please do yourself a favor. I mean, if you haven't planned that husband and wife birthday gift Christmas gift, do that now.
Quick announcement from Hear the Watchman conference. Paul McGuire will be joining the Hear the Watchman team along with his webmaster, Susan. And Susan has a book giveaway, and this coincides with, remember the $99 hotel room deals that ended December 1st? Or the package deals.
Right. I think we sold out, right?
Well, this is what Mike and Jeannie sent. They did sell out of the $99 hotel rooms with the Hilton. They've increased the block, so people can now reserve a room for the rate of $99 again. However, at these rates, they go fast, so make your reservations today. The code to get a free copy of Susan's book at the discounted rate for tickets to the speaker conference is Hagman. That's HAGMANN.
Hagman.
Get this Hagman listener-only ticket to the conference for $99, again, with a copy of Susan's book for free. Just enter the code Hagman when you order your discounted
That's a super-secret code.
Tickets. Yeah.
But anyway.
A free copy of her book, yeah. And her book is called Growing Closer to God, A Daily Scripture Guide.
Oh, and what a book it is. Let me tell you, this is the time to get it right now. before the first of the year. Just end of story. All right. Wow. One of my favorite people in the world is Russ Dizdar. I mean, he's a man's man. Russ Dizdar is a man of God. Russ Dizdar is, I just cannot sing his praises enough. He doesn't need an endorsement from us or from me, that's for sure. He has something called the Ragged Edge Radio Show right here on Global Star Radio Network. And he's doing right now, folks, I hope you're listening to him. He comes on before our show. The Time of Sorrows, Birth Pangs, The Terror at Hand, The Terror to Come. And all week he's going to be talking about this. Russ joins us right now. Russ, we've packed the house for you. It's good to have you on, my brother.
Hey, good to be with you today. And terrorism even today, it's unbelievable because people think it's going to slow down, that it's going to go away, and then another wave hits and another wave hits, and everybody's just looking around. Isn't it astounding that this group called ISIS, they're calling an organization, you've got the superpower. You've got multiple nations. Obama says the other night, some 30 coalition on our part. Nobody can stop them at this point. And there's more to all of this than just the blood and guts of political ideology. And that's, I hope we can talk about that tonight.
Absolutely. And before we get into this, Russ, I don't know. It's very staticky.
Yeah. You got some trouble on your end, Russ, according to our tech here.
Don't know if you want to, if we can reconnect.
Boy, yeah.
But it's just like tons of static.
Yeah. What you have to say is too important to be to be covered by white noise. Okay.
They just reconnected, so...
Wow. Okay. Now we're good. Good to go.
Good enough.
All right. Yeah.
Much better.
Russ, we're entering into a time period like no other, but if we take a few steps back and take a look at the time we're in right now and what's taking place, I see a larger agenda playing out here. I see that we can't look at San Bernardino, we can't look at Paris, we can't look at any of this disparate events. We have to look at this in the larger scheme of, well, as you put it, the time of sorrows. Where are we going with this? I mean, are we there? Or are we, you know, are we at the that moment in time? Because you've talked about this so much, and you've written about it in your book, Black Awakening.
Agreed. And I would say this, that looking again, this is why I think, again, biblical prophecy is the best intel that we can have. It's the insight that gives definitive, explicit pictures, not only the warnings of the devastations to come, but also of God being in the midst, what he's going to do. So in whatever we talk about concerning, and again, what we're seeing is just just bridled radical evil. And so we can look at the physical side, we can see the ugliness of it, and we have to look at that. We've got to deal with that. But I'm telling you, the source behind all of this is the same spirit behind ISIS, behind, you know, deep level Luciferian, behind what we're seeing here is a presence, a supernatural presence, and its evidence is not only seen in its brutality and its complete disregard for, you know, human life. We see in the agenda there's going to be more clearly an antichrist picture in all of this. So I think that we have to look at what's going on right now and take a look at it, you know, and really look deep into it, because I think we're seeing just, again, surface pieces of this, as bad and as ugly as it is, and what's behind it, and people can talk about secret government behind this, and they're helping to orchestrate this. Well, I can agree with all of that, but then we must go further to dark side presence, biblical prophecy. So, time of sorrows, the Odin, that is the birth pangs, that is what Jesus said, and I believe he used a word that describes exactly what we're seeing right now, and have been seeing for some time. But I think that when we look at Matthew 24, you start with verse 4, and you go down those few verses, and when Jesus talks about, number one, the deception, unprecedented deception, and then the wars, rumors of wars, then the earthquakes, pestilence, famines. He said, when you see that, when you see all of those specific things, the beginnings of Odin, the beginnings of birth pangs. So this is important for us. Number one, those are the evidences that we have entered into the beginnings, and I think that's been for a few decades. And that is a kind of a process that continues to build and build. Just now, the word used, it's used of a woman in travail, in birth, you know, in birthing a child. And so what's important about this is that in what Jesus said, this is so vital in this process, that it's the beginning, that it's right now, it's just what we're seeing now, and as ugly as it is, and as and people are shaking their heads, they are literally going numb. Politicians, military strategists, you see all of this, and they're just because it won't stop. It just won't stop. They're not understanding the source behind it, let alone the fact that word used, Odin, is in reference to the globe, the picture of the entire world being in a siege, being seized by extreme pain, extreme suffering, extreme occurrences, and it happens wave after wave after wave. Like you and I, we've not been on that table. My wife was on that table with those birth pangs, and your wives have been on, you know, those kind of tables, and so the wives know this, the women know this, but that word Odin is chosen to give a global picture of a seizing of the world. The world's going to feel extreme pain, and we look at the context, and these are the things. Look what ISIS, this little organization, has done. It has drawn in Russia, United States, 31 other nations. France is in it and declaring war. It is literally brought into the Middle East, into the center of everything, all these nations. And so you have exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 24. You know, the nation against nation, and you know, they're gonna come against each other. They're gonna rise up. But it begins with deception, and I'm going to tell you again, the spiritual presence and source is the issue, and the reasons why even superpowers have not yet stopped this global unleashing, and this is only one wave of the many other waves to come of radical, extreme, painful suffering that the world is going to experience.
Wow. Okay, Russ, maybe you can help me understand a few things, because I'm really trying to understand the larger picture here. I mean, I get the larger picture. I guess I'm trying to understand the mechanics of the larger picture, and I say that I look at 9/11, but even more importantly than 9/11, or equally just as important as 9/11. We see these smaller terrorist events take place, and domestic shootings take place. I like never before, at least on a pace at a rate that we've never before seen at least in my lifetime, I think. And we look at the eyes of the shooters, for example. We look in how many shooters that, you know, with the eyes that the Aurora, Colorado shooter, that other guy with a beard, I'm trying to think of. Anyway, we just look in their eyes. We're seeing this new level of evil, I believe, this possession, this much like we've never seen before. I guess my question is this: have the gates been opened for demon possession, or is demon possession part of this? Or
I think demon possession always has been.
I'm not even sure I can formulate the proper question, Russ.
Well, no, you're right on target with this, because this is what's not going to be looked at. The world's going to keep scratching its head, saying, you know, these guys just won't stop. They just keep coming. The Aurora thing, the you know, all the different ones that continue to come. It's not going to be just ISIS. They're a part of the whole, and they're a big part of the whole. But there's going to be more of all of this. So yeah, I say the same thing. Look at their faces. Look at their eyes. Look at the radical evil. And the secular world will say they went crazy. They went nuts. They went mental, and they'll look for all these psychological profiling, but they can't scratch the surface of what's really there. So I came out sometime in the past, and I'll mention it here again tonight, when it comes to shooters like this, shooters, killers, and suicide, you know, when they do their suicides, they can be, there can be a killing, domestic killings, like Cain killed his brother. He got angry. So, you know, we've been involved in law enforcement. We've been involved in, you know, these kind of cases where a husband or a wife gets jealous or mad or something happens. Officers don't like to go to those, you know, those kind of calls. It could be just simply anger. And it is just anger takes over and they get involved and they shoot and so forth. Well, that's one thing. Then there's also the ideology, the issues of nations that want to protect themselves. Officers have to kill in order to stop. They have to put down evil. And so there's a sense in which protecting your home, protecting your nation, protecting your neighborhood, protecting your kids. But then we move to some other things, and I've written specifically and heavily on the program demonized, by design, shooter, assassin, and the sheer numbers of them. And again, we can talk about that. I think there's 20 million active, and prepared, ready to go. And this is below, one step below ISIS is another whole larger, more organized. But when we look at ISIS, I look at individuals. We call this charged ideology. So when we've done a lot of stuff for like 30 some years of dealing with all kinds of books, confiscating books, underground books, Satanic Bible, Devil's Bible, all these materials. You know, we've even engaged reading materials and researching Alice Bailey, and so we understand Didache Daemonia. This is 1 Timothy 4:1. And the Spirit expressly, definitively, loudly says, and in that context, that these demons called planos, imposters, seducers, they will lead some people to write materials. So demons will inspire, a certain class of them will inspire the writings. The writings will be charged. They'll have a spiritual you know, presence and principle with those writings. Now, I believe the Quran, and this is where the next level of the discussion nationally needs to go. Who is Allah and who's behind the Quran? So, and again, I clearly say, and we'll be glad to go into the details concerning this, but the Quran evidences the spirit of Antichrist. Like 1 John talks about, the Gnostic writings all did this. Every occult writing, every Luciferic writing has the same spirit of Antichrist behind it, and there's two particular indicators that shows this. So you have the Quran that is, and again, you have Muhammad, you know, getting, you know, passing out, going into a trance, foaming at the mouth, and waking up. The writings are there. Unlike the biblical writers, 40 of them, where the Spirit of God would use redeemed individuals, people that were in fellowship with God, and the Spirit of God would use them and guide them and lead them throughout their own personality to bring us the infallible and errant, powerful Word of God. Now you have the Quran being a counter to that, as you did Gnostic writings, as we have many writings today. And so here's what happens. This occurs when people engage Helena Blavatsky's writings, The Secret Doctrines, or 10,000 other volumes similar. When they begin to read them, they're reading supernatural writings. They'll have an effect. If they begin to believe them, if they begin to open up to them, then they're going to have the presence behind the book begin to engage them. If they grip the teachings, the spirits behind those writings will grip them. It's a collective of them. They're connected in a larger agenda. That's where the Bible, again, prophecy, the Spirit of God gives us. He gives us the big picture, then brings us all the way down to how does it happen. So if you have somebody, anybody, it can be an African, it could be an American, it could be from the UK, a Brit, it can be an Arab, it can be an Asian in the Philippines. If they get a hold of Didache Daemonia, this is the writings of a demon, if they believe and if they embrace, then the spirit behind it embraces them, and that's when everything goes dark. That's when everything goes radical, because it's by stages, like old left-hand path. It's step by step. The deeper they read, you'll notice that the most radical are committed and memorizing and to the T. They're literally obeying the Quran to the T, to create terror, to go to the infidel, to slaughter without mercy, to do it this way. So the writings are charged. And it's not just so-called a religion. It's not so-called, you know, this is the larger picture we must take a look at. Anybody reading those writings, beginning to believe them and beginning to get into them, in contrast to the Scripture, when I read the Scripture and I read the love of God and God comes to save, the Spirit of God is in the Scripture and the Spirit of God speaks to me and draws me to Christ and wants to bring salvation into my life and wants me to grow in Christ and be a part of His mission. So I'm committed to Christ. I'm committed to that biblical revelation and the mission of Jesus. When you believe the writings in the Quran, when you embrace them, the spirit presence behind that embraces them, they're committed to it, and they will follow the supernatural presence that that is behind that. And I'm saying, individually that occurs, but there is a corporate global agenda that that is served by Allah in the Quran. And it's connected to something even broader and larger underneath it.
Wow. So, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Blavatsky, because in my research of Blavatsky and in my basis of research of ISIS, and it's interesting the push by certain leaders to call ISIS ISIL. But of course, Madame Blavatsky wrote ISIS Unveiled, The Secrets of the Ancient Wisdom Tradition, which is her first work.
ISIS Unveiled, Volume 1.
Volume 1. You know, and I just find this beyond coincidence. I don't know. I just find it too coincidental. Am I looking at something here, Russ, that because when we tap into ISIS and we look at ISIS, the name has connotations, of course, of the Egyptian ISIS and
sure,
and sure, and such. Am I making too much of this, or
no? You're going down the same. I mean, you have the scripture. You have all the writers. For example, the 40 writers, most of them never had any chance of knowing each other because they're hundreds of years apart. But they're led by the same Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, this is biblical inspiration. The Spirit of God guided them over 1,600 years in the writing of Scripture. So you have the presence. They all knew this. They all knew they were guided. They all recognized this. So as I've read the Scriptures 40 years and memorized and so forth, and, you know, I see His presence. I know the Savior that I know, His very presence is in the book. Now, what you're saying is very clear, because I mentioned earlier the spirit of Antichrist that 1 John speaks about when it comes to the writings, counterfeit writings. And in 1 John, the warning was, hey, I'm writing to you because of those who are trying to lead you astray. And here's what, again, I think in theologies and so forth over the years, Doug and Joe, I love studying. I've studied for years, been to 5 schools, and here's why I'm saying that. The content of systematic theology and major missions books and everything else did not give the Christians a good enough understanding biblically. We know Satan's origin, or maybe even his nature in the demons, but methods was very weak as far as teaching Christians so they can understand spiritual warfare. But even larger than that is the end time agenda. Here's what I got to say: there is no end time radical chaotic killing, slaughtering, evil. There is none of this without the presence of a organized, by design, suprahuman presence behind all this. And the evidences God gives us in Scripture, for example, the writings again. Everywhere you see the spirit of Antichrist guide writers, whether that's the early Gnostics, Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, big writers like that, others all across the board, even when it comes to ufologists engaging entities and saying they're writing and the entities want them to write. Okay, they have claims to supernatural guidance from entities. But here's the evidence. Wherever the spirit of Antichrist guides individuals, there is a denial, two things, a denial of the deity of Christ and a denial of the clarity of salvation through Him. So that in any of the writings from the spirit of Antichrist guiding, whatever they want to call it, they can, you know, whether you, because the secret doctrine does this, the Helena's or Alice Bailey's writings do this, ufologist writings do this. I'm reading now, remote viewers engaging entities, they're doing it. New Age channelers, they're doing it. Without question, the Quran fits in the same category. The spirit of Antichrist is a presence of supernatural entities that will guide individuals to right. The Spirit of God warned of this. He said it's going to happen, to deceive many. And he'll use individuals who believe the entities to write doctrine, to write teachings that then would influence many others. The evidence of the spirit of Antichrist and the demonic side using people is, because it's the nature of the demons, two things. They cannot and they will not point anyone to the real Christ. They can't and they won't. Never, there's no change in this. So they're all going to come to bring a counterfeit and point people in a different direction to serve that larger agenda. And we're at the timeline of that agenda where part of the timeline of that agenda is to create the most massive chaos in human history so that a new order already prepped and ready to go will be able to step in. So that's what we need to look at in these writings and say, listen, behind the writings, you know, can this be checked out? What's the source of this writing? Does the Quran match up with the scripture concerning the character and nature and attributes of God? Absolutely no. Does it line up to the scripture concerning salvation through Christ or direct salvation to God? No. Because Allah declares he's not a personal entity. He doesn't want to know you. He just wants you to submit. So everything that we read, everything that I read as someone who's done a lot of deliverance, a lot of the demonic side, when I read the Quran, I read a very powerfully charged book that evidences the spirit of Antichrist and the nature of the demonic realm. This is what that's all about. And one step below them, which we're not in the public with, and we're not looking at yet. And again, I know it's a word everybody's going to, you know, I define them definitively. You know, my definition of the Luciferian is those elites and those individuals that really know who they're connected to. They really know who they're serving. They know they're part of this agenda. They know they want to bring this Superman into the world, this new super order into the world, and they got to eliminate everything else. They're just below all of this. And really, in my view, by the power that's in them, they're orchestrating, helping to orchestrate this. I mean, even, listen, just as much as a Mooney is deceived by embracing the teachings and so forth, that deny Christ, denies deity, and so forth, but have them accept other entities and another presence. The same thing is true of Arabs, and whether that's black Africans or whether that's white Brits. If they embrace the doctrine, the demons behind them will begin to, one, bring their presence to what we call mounting, and then attachment, and then, yeah, full-blown possession, to where they are supernaturally guided in a radical evil that seems so far beyond the rest of evil that we've seen.
So, just so I'm clear on this, because you said a whole lot, folks, please share this particular episode with your family and friends, but just so I'm clear on this, the doctrine, the thesis, well, the doctrine of Islam is, well, leads one into a possession, an Antichrist-type possession. And I want to be careful here not to suggest any Antichrist persona, but the spirit of the Antichrist through the doctrine of, we'll say, Islam. Is that what you're saying?
Sure, because, I mean, yeah, this listen, this is why we need an honest, real, good study. Let's go back to Muhammad. He rejected Christianity. He rejected Judaism. He was inspired by the polytheistic demon gods, and then one particular one named AI he embraced. And then that one was to reveal to him he is Allah. He is the one that you're to submit to. And so we look at the history of Muhammad, of course, in engaging this entity. At one point, Muhammad believed that he was being directed by demons, and you know, we get this whole story of the satanic verses. And then that got covered up later on. But he you got to look at the inspiration. It reminds me again of people who are channelers. Demons come in and use people in an abnormal way, and they can even put them in trance. Edgar Casey went to sleep and spoke things. And so we have Muhammad receiving, one individual receiving things after he rejected the real Christ of biblical history and biblical, you know, revelation, and rejected Judaism. So in that embrace of that presence led him then not only to write, but then to kill off everybody else worshiping anything else, and then to go city to city, you know, to either get the people to submit or to kill them. So what we're seeing today is what's the beginning of all of this. And here's why I'm saying that we need to ask the question, who is Allah? Because the Quran does point everybody to an entity. All Muslims that I've talked to here at the University of Akron, individuals that I've dealt with over the years, well, they'll talk about Allah, and I'll ask, who is he? Oh, he's just, and they'll say certain things, and I'll say, do you know him? They will say no. Do you have fellowship with him? No, because the attributes of Allah is he declares he's a non-personal being and he doesn't want to have friendship, fellowship with you. You just need to submit to him and do his will. So that is the attribute of a demon. That is the attribute of what demonic spirits are all about, and specifically territorial. This is why I suggest Allah may be the Prince of Persia from the days of Daniel. Because the similarities are identical in the sense of that presence ruled that entire region of Persia. All those countries right now, that entity ruled. Where did the Prince of Persia die? Did he go away? No, of course they don't die. So who Allah is one issue. And then the inspiration. At one point, Muhammad said that Gabriel. No, that wasn't Gabriel. We see Gabriel in the scriptures and what he does, and this other entity. Again, Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. It's metaskizmazatai. They can completely morph. But the evidence that it's not God is that the Spirit of God, if it's not the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is going to point to the deity of Christ, to the saviorhood of Christ. He's going to point to everything who Jesus is and was and will always be, and unleash him in that clarity. Whereas the demon spirits will move everybody away from that, and in the writings will move everybody to a dumbed down, de-deified, non-saving entity that nobody has fellowship. I mean, the Quran talks about Jesus. Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, they all do the same. They all talk, but it's not the same Jesus. They can't have fellowship with him. They don't know who that is. They just name a fake, de-deified Jesus and then point them into another direction altogether, and they're captivated.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Think about that, folks. I mean, understand that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, our guest is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, ShatterTheDarkness.net. He's got a program, the Ragged Edge Radio, that's airs on Global Star Radio Network, the same network we're on. So proud to be a part of that. Actually, it's right before ours. It comes on. So tune in there. And, of course, this week, you know, the Thomas Sorrows, Birth Pangs, the Terror at Hand, the Terror to Come, this week with Russ Dizdar, of course. That's his menu for the week. And, of course, folks, if you go to ShatterTheDarkness.net, there I highly recommend the book The Black Awakening. I mean, let me tell you, it really explains in great detail what's taking place with from the super soldiers to the possessed, and really what to expect. It's not a happy read. It's an accurate read, and it's a great read. But it's certainly one that you've really gonna really pay attention to. Russ, I want to thank you for appearing with us tonight and for being part of our show tonight. Joe, you were I thought I'd cut you off there.
No, it's fine.
Okay, all right.
Because I forgot.
Okay, of course. Yeah, I do that too.
Appreciate it.
Russ, man, okay, so what you're telling us, I think, I mean, we've seen Islam develop from, well, we've seen it develop from the 600s into the present. And this development it's grown and it's entranced or captured more people. Now we're seeing a clash of civilizations and the clash, between good and evil taking shape in the form of Islam versus every other monotheistic religion. specifically Judaism and Christianity. And this
sure.
is prophesied. Okay. Prophesied.
Sure. Not only prophesied in a big way, detailed way, and I think that, again, they're fulfilling, they're part of that fulfillment, and what we have to deal with is how real it is, and, you know, we see it here, you know, in all these different places. I was reading another site earlier today, and I made a quote a site that does really good statistical analysis, really good vetting, really good source work. Now, this site I put out, and I was reading, I was going through the nations and where Islamic terrorism, you know, where killings have occurred. How many since 9/11? I mean, any, you know, if we want to say how many terrorist killings, murders like this that we've seen in just lately here have occurred since 9/11 worldwide. Now, this is going to shock some. 27,339. That's huge, and that's part of the nature of this group. And if we don't, and I just watched a video of Europe just here earlier today too. I think I sent it to you concerning the refugee issue, because it's without question over there. It's not just refugee; they're talking about the entire continent being changed, altered. When I listen to imams, when I listen to scholars yelling and screaming, when I listen to the local mosque teachers yell, you know, speaking or preaching, whatever they want to call it, to the crowds of refugees, when I hear them talk about filling all of Europe and turning it into a caliphate, part of the whole picture, when I listen to their mission, see, what people are not looking at, and politicians spiritually dumbed down, if not willingly, you know, wittingly, they're involved, unwittingly, they are succumbing to a supernatural source so huge. It's a global thing. It's bigger than nations. And so it's just looking for the people that will help serve the cause. Biblical preaching and teaching and revelation shows that anarchists, killers, rebels, this is Daniel chapter 12, the wicked, the word meaning the insurrectionists, they're going to continue to the very end. They're going to be here to the very end. And part of the beginnings of birth pangs, severe, traumatic jolts to the world, is what we're in right now. It's only the beginning. That's really the scary part of this. Now, I've known the other side of this for years. I've set up many times in the middle of the night talking to, you know, the ones below ISIS. Those, for example, let me give you one example. The Fort Bragg Psy Warrior I wrote about in the book. Years ago in the 90s, we sat discussing their connection to the Muslim world. They're giving to the Muslim world the technology of splitting, programming, and keeping individuals targeted in that larger Luciferic agenda. So here I have a Fort Bragg Psy Warrior that is one of the most powerful trained that I've ever met, speaks multiple languages, including Punjab, and you've got, this is the one that I went into a out loud spiritual battle with, where they begin to call on Aromain, a Arabic demon god, to come and help them right here in Ohio. As I got into this big verbal battle, and as I began to rebuke the demon spirit in them, they began to cry out in Arabic and call for Aramaic, the demon god, to come and help them. Now, I began to rebuke them again in the name of Jesus, and of course, the authority of the Lord took care of all of that. He gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. That person grabbed their head. It's, again, highly trained in weapons, highly trained in bombing, highly trained in chemicals. This person went running out of the vehicle. But Doug and Joe, this person back in the 90s, I wrote one aspect of my engagement with them, but the larger engagement was they had Islamic individuals they were working with here in the United States. They wanted me to meet them, actually. They actually had me meet others that they were working with, and they explained to me, as they explained the Black Awakening, the coming chaos, they explained, this is back in 93, 94, they explained their connection to the Muslim world. So we've got to understand that it's more than just the outward names, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and all the rest of it, that does represent, you know, some connections to old left-hand path, you know, dark side stuff of their works. It's what's in them, what's on them, that is showing direct evidence to that whole end times work to bring this kind of horrific chaos. So I really believe the same spirit that has guided Nazis, that has infiltrated nations, that has begun to build their multi-continental, multinational system, have done this to the Arab world, to the Muslim, and helped fuel that side. I'm telling you, one of the most empowered, demonized person that could speak twilight languages and summon demons that have been involved in blood rituals, they outwardly, by the inspiration of demonic presence, spoke in Arabic, summoning Aromain to come and help them fight me in a car where they just pulled out a weapon a few minutes prior.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. Well, all right. So what you're saying is, well, ultimately what you're saying is, look beyond, how can I put this? When we watch the headlines on the news, when we hear about the events taking place, look beyond the obvious, look straight at the darkest of the dark agendas, and that being the spirit of Lucifer, just really taking place here, grabbing a hold of current events geopolitically and domestically as well as overseas. This is what.
Sure.
Okay.
So well, and I think Matthew 24. Go ahead, Joe.
No, go ahead, Russ.
I was just going to mention Matthew 24 when it talks about this context of birth pangs. What's going to draw nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom? I mean, as I mentioned earlier, ISIS is supposed to be a little organization. They have drawn in, 35 nations. They've drawn in the superpowers of the world to come at them, and they mm-hmm. can't. The superpowers. That's why we go back 2,600 years to Daniel. When God is unveiling this coming new order, he talks about it being terrifying, thunderous. You know, it's going to be a system that's going to be able to rip down everything else in the most vicious way. So we see the picture that God gives of this coming system. But here's what God says: not by human hands. That matches Revelation 13 in reference to that same system when it rises finally. The dragon shall give it its power. So this is my big emphasis. This is not just a physical war, though it's going to be fought out in guns and so forth. But you would think that the superpowers would scare them. You would think Russia, the United States, now France, 30 other nations are all going to come in and fight against ISIS. Do you see them backing down? Because
no.
They're spiritually inspired. They're committed to the entity and the presence. They could feel the presence. I could feel the power of God in our meeting here tonight online. I could feel the power of God in preaching. I can feel the power of God in the context of doing deliverance. And I know the power of the Spirit of God in the presence of Dunamis, the Holy Spirit giving me, you know, power to do the mission of Jesus, winning souls to Christ, praying for the healing, deliverance, so forth. They can feel the powers on them. They have suit. This is what we're not understanding. This is what, you know, 70,000 churches in America doesn't understand. Millions of Christians, I think, are missing it. Spiritual warfare. Could 30 million Christians begin to pray against the spiritual backdrop to Islam? Can we begin to ask God to engage this? Like there are imams having stories of visitations and visions, and they're, you know, and God encountering them turning to Christ all over Africa. There's a lot coming to Christ, but because of the millions upon millions, I mean, if you get a chance, watch that little video I sent you of the European crisis right now. You're going to watch tens of thousands upon thousands, mainly looking like 18 to 30-year-old men, being led by imams and others. You won't believe the raping and everything else, and the imams telling them to marry the women there in the Scandinavian countries in Europe and have 6, 7, 8, 9 babies with them, radicalize them. And what I mean by radicalizing them is simply get them to believe the Quran and get them to begin to recite the Quran, and they're being inducted. And that's being done to them from just little children, and it reminds me of the underground super soldier that they're brought in. They're selected, brought into the program. Of course, there's more technology in the sense of splitting them and programming, but demonizing them. But the same agenda these undergrounders have is evidenced in ISIS in the larger writings of the Quran. It's evidence in the same way. They want the same thing. They want a global, conquest, and they have to eliminate everybody else. Every other government and every other religion must go, and they're going to create great bloodshed and chaos first. And then their 12th Imam will come, and then their super leader will come. It's exactly the same picture as the Luciferians have in the underground.
Interesting. So it's okay. So what they're pushing for their agenda, the darkness, we are expecting. Maybe that's even a very generous term among Christians today. Maybe Christians are not plugged in to expect anything, but that aside, we're expecting the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
And then, the UN Lucius Trust, or Lucifer's Trust as it was formerly known, they talk about the coming Messiah, and it's not Jesus, obviously. And they mention how, and just like all the other New Age writings, they mention how the world has seen, man bring forth saviors of sorts, like they refer to the Kishnu or Krishnu and Jesus and Buddha. They lump them all together and say, basically that these were just forerunners for the coming one, who Islam believes is still coming. There are Jewish people who are waiting for a Messiah to come. You have non-believers who would accept the Messiah if presented something, supernatural or like we expect to see with the Antichrist. And then you have those in the church that will be deceived by the fake coming of this Messiah, or the, I don't want to say fake, by the, we know that the devil will try to replicate the second coming of Jesus in a way that he makes himself, Lord of all. And the Bible says, I'll be rejected, but the one who comes, he will be accepted. And he's talking about the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Sure. And here again is the backdrop. And here's, I think, again, this is the systematic content God's given us in Scripture, because I see it as being, I see part of the one, the half of the prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled are the largest in all of them. And one third of all of that, if not more, is in reference to God peeling back and showing us exactly what Satan's going to do. It is huge. It is massive. And so we're talking about Revelation 12, the dragon and his... They're going after the whole world. They're going after the entire world. They're going after over 6 billion. So if we, as believers in Christ, can come back and look at the Scripture and say, you know what? We not only know that Satan's real, demons are real, and this kind of stuff's real out there, but you know what else? We know that the methods that he uses, we want to know what those are so we know how to stand against the devil's wiles. But the agenda, there is a systematic, sequential development that is going to be unfurled, and nobody's going to be able, no government's going to be able to stop. Europe is not going to stop this now. Europe is now, the beginning. It's the beginning. And the beginning, when a woman has the beginning of those, she knows what's coming. She knows that it's going to happen. But she's going to go through some really heavy-duty pain, some really heavy-duty, intense, severe pains. And eventually, that's all going to bring about a birth. So in this sense, the beginning of these birth pangs that we're in is going to lead to some global, and that, for us, United States, extreme. Here's what I'll say. In the United States, specifically with the administration we have, they're not going to be able to stop this. I'm going to say this. You're going to see multiple shooters in multiple cities, one at one end of the city, one at the other city, one in that city over there, Columbus, one up in Cleveland, having the same weekends. You're going to see shooter, bomber, and then you're going to see the poisons come. And that's only the beginnings of what's going to occur when the whole thing breaks out, when, 100,000 programmed, demonized shooter chaos makers are unleashed at once. What you're seeing Look what happened in San Bernardino. Look what happened in Paris with just a couple of individuals, you know, six over there, whatever they said. They could barely contain it. In Europe right now, and you're showing the video, and I appreciate that, they can't stop them. They can't stop this. And if you see behind the scenes, the imams and all the rest of them, you know, you see, you know, police guys with little things hitting their knees or whatever, and then they'll show. Then media sometimes will just simply show little families, which we need to love families. We know what it is to take care of little families and help them, but that's not what we're seeing here. We're seeing a fulfillment of the mission of Islam. And that is inseparably connected to the chaos makers and that which will bring such a collapse. I mean, it's going to bring everybody to the brink of, look what happened here just the other day, the largest gun sale in the United States in history. What was that, mm-hmm. Black Friday?
Yes.
And you see it everywhere. You know, I'm with a chief at a high-tech training place here close to where I live, extremely high-tech training, tactical training place. He's doing stuff for CCWs, and I'm watching all the people in there, and I'm listening to this chief telling everybody should be armed. Everybody, this is a few weeks back. Every American should be armed. This is what a chief's saying. And then I see another, you know, sheriff come out and say that every American, you know, get ready. Everybody needs to be armed. Now, they know what's coming. If people are going to look at Europe at all and see 20,000, 80,000, 100,000, it doesn't take that many. Sometimes it only takes 5 or 10 or 15 or 20. So what we have seen in Paris and other places, and again, don't forget, as I gave that stat earlier, as far as Islamic-oriented terrorism killings attacks, 27,339 to this date since 9/11. And I'm saying that has a connection, direct connection to this more secretive underground, and they're just below the surface of this, and I think that they're helping spiritually, you know, motivate this. But I believe they're larger than this. I believe they're bigger than this. I believe that there may be 20 million programmed, demonized, highly demonized of these advanced super soldiers that when they're unleashed, think in terms of Holmes in Colorado or Jared in Arizona or just one little boy. Look at the little boy at the VTech shooter. He looked like a little boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he had. They said that he had the ability to kill. The ratio was better than a SWAT team shooter, and yet they said he never had a gun. They never used guns, and yet we find out later that he's some kind of mental things going on. That there's this off campus file concerning his mental issues. I don't know him personally, so I can't give definitive information on any three that I just mentioned. But to me, they look like what I've dealt with: programmed, charged, demonized. I mean, empowered shooters, and that when they're done with their job, they will either shoot themselves and take themselves out, or that program part will just simply go down. And the person won't know where they were. They don't know what happened. They don't remember. That's the way the technology the Nazis, you know, came up with that we talked about in the book Hypnotism by G.H. Esterbrooks. 1947, U.S. military already knew this stuff. But again, I'm saying that this stuff's been shared with the Islamic world, and it's been shared with the Russians. It's been shared around the world, so it's being used. And so those being radicalized, they're being drawn in to embrace Didache Daemonia, doctrines of demons. Then the demons embrace them. Then they get darker and darker. Then they become more, when we say radical, utterly committed to that presence. And they're willing to do anything it says. They evidence what the undergrounders evidence. That they can slaughter, they can kill children, they can maim them, burn them. And it fits the biblical prophecy of the red horse in Revelation 6 when this, all of a sudden, coming, Joe and Doug, is a day in which from the whole earth, right now everything's being held in check, but there's going to be a day in which the peace is removed instantly and something causes hundreds of thousands to do what we just saw and slaughter many others.
Hold that thought, Rob.
We are coming up against the break. Folks are listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on this Monday, December 7th, 2015, with Russ Dizdar. His website, shatterthedarkness.net. Listen to his radio show right before ours on Global Star Radio Network, yeah. 6 to 7 p.m., Monday through Friday. And here at the Hagman Studios, it plays loudly right before we come on. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.